Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Megan. I think that's the first Australian accent we've heard tonight from up front. So great. English Americans love it. It's really great to be here tonight. I get to preach tonight on one of my favourite bits of Ephesians. And then I walk away and leave someone else to preach on husbands and wives next week. So, shall I pray for us? Our loving God and Heavenly Father, would you please pour out your Spirit again upon your church right now? Spirit of God, would you give us ears to hear you, eyes to see you, minds to ponder you? Spirit of God, as we sit under your word tonight, would you change us, transform us, illuminate our hearts and our minds so that we might live for Jesus and love like him. In his name we pray. Amen. There's a quote on the screen from Corrie ten Boom. She says, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. I want to change it slightly tonight and say, trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. Trying to live for Jesus and love like Jesus in your own strength. Trying to walk with the Lord in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious thing you can do. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus just flows out of you. So tonight I want to just focus on just those five words, chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's our sermon tonight. Just five words, but they could be five life-transforming words. A.W. Tozer says this, reading and experiencing are two quite different things. It's one thing to read about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's quite another thing to experience his mighty filling. The Holy Spirit who radically changes our life to one of adoring wonder and amazement at the things of God. Is that what you long for? A Christian life of adoring wonder and amazement at the things of God. It's what I've been praying for many, many years for the Bridge Church, that we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just understanding what that means, but experiencing a deep filling of the Holy Spirit. Because way too many Christians are satisfied with a mediocre, low-level walk with the Lord. Way too many Christians are not enjoying a peace-filled, hope-filled Christian life as they could or should. Way too many of us are here are not enjoying an intimacy with God as we could or should, because we're not asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again. So if I said to you tonight, what is the greatest source of untapped power in the world right now? It is not the Niagara Falls that generates 4.9 million kilowatts of power per day. That's extraordinary. And it's not that the power of the sun that has enough solar energy to power the whole world. The greatest source of untapped power in the world right now is the power of the Holy Spirit in every single believer. Because the Bible says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The Bible says that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead indwells you. And that Holy Spirit longs to equip you and empower you to live the kind of Christian lives that he longs you to live. He longs for you to experience God and intimacy with God. He longs for you to be empowered to do the task of God. He longs for you to understand the scriptures in a way you never have before. He longs to fill you and fill you and fill you again. And it's not just knowing that. It's living it. So just five words tonight. Be filled with the Spirit. Let me begin by a really important statement. You've got to understand and believe this, that every believer has all of the Holy Spirit in them. All believers have all of the Spirit in them. The Bible is very clear about that. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you're calling Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, you do have the Holy Spirit in you. Please don't let anyone tell you you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. But please don't let anyone tell you that you need more of the Holy Spirit in you. That's the most ridiculous statement. Because the Spirit is a person, not a force. So you either got the Spirit in you or you haven't got the Spirit in you. You can't need more of Him in you. You've got all of Him. It's a bit like my friend. My friend is coming around to our house tomorrow, and he's either in my house or he's not in my house. I can't say I've got 70% of my friend in my house tomorrow and I'm waiting for the last 30% to turn up. He's in my house. The Spirit of God is in you. You've got all of Him in you. And you don't receive the Spirit in different installments. You know, you don't receive more of the Spirit if you have this greater act of obedience or some super spiritual experience of God. And you don't need to be topped up with the Spirit. You know, people talk about having this wonderful mountaintop experience of God, but then they leak a bit and they spill a bit and they need to be injected with a fresh injection of the Holy Spirit. That's ridiculous. Nonsense. Now, all believers have all the Holy Spirit in them all the time. So the most important thing I'm going to say today is this. It is not, do I have all of the Holy Spirit in me? It's, does the Holy Spirit have all of me? It's not, have I got all the Spirit in me? It's, does the Holy Spirit have every part of me? Is every part of my fiber and my being filled with the Holy Spirit? Have I opened myself up to the Spirit of God filling and transforming every part of me? I don't need more of Him. He needs more of me. R.A. Torrey says, if you think of the Spirit as an influence, you'll be anxious that you might have more of it. But if you think of the Spirit as a person, as He is, then you'll desire that He has more of you. You'll long for Him to have every part of your being. You'll invite Him to control every fiber of your being, your words, your actions, your thoughts. You will surrender every part of your life to Him. He is in you. We just need to surrender more and more of ourselves to Him. Well, Jeff was talking about how on Tuesday this week he looked out of his window and he looks over, I think it's Cremorne Point. And there's a boat there on the harbour. And the boat's got a sail on the boat. But the boat is just stuck there in the harbour doing nothing. And the boat will stay stuck in the harbour with the sail until there's wind in the sails. And that's a bit like the Holy Spirit. We've got the sail. The Spirit is the sail. But you need to invite the Spirit of God to give you wind in your sails. To ask the Spirit of God to lead you, to guide you, to gift you, to empower you, to equip you. You need to remove all the barriers in your life that are stopping you, allowing the Spirit of God to transform you. Open yourself up to His teaching, His leading, His directing, and that is liberating and refreshing. So a few questions tonight. Here's the first one. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean? What does that word filled mean? In the scriptures, it means a few things. It means to be controlled by, influenced by, and permeated by. Let me show you. Luke chapter 4, verse 28. The religious leaders were filled with rage at Jesus. They were controlled by their anger. They were consumed by it. Or Acts 14, verse 35, the Jews were filled with jealousy at the ministry of Paul. That's the word used there. They were influenced by their jealousy. Their jealousy led them to act in a certain way. Well, Acts 13, verse 52, the believers were filled with joy. Joy permeated their whole being. So to be filled with the Spirit means that you are totally influenced by, controlled by, and permeated by Him. And Paul's example is a good one in verse 18. Look at it with me. There's a contrast here in verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, which leads to speaking, singing, and being thankful. So he says, don't be filled with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be totally influenced by wine, be totally influenced by the Holy Spirit. Don't be permeated by wine, but be permeated by the Holy Spirit. You know when someone is drunk and we say they're under the influence of alcohol? Or we say, oh, that's the alcohol talking. And so alcohol that permeates you, it changes you. It shapes your thinking, your speech, your behavior. So if you're under the influence of alcohol, if you're filled with wine, it leads to what? Verse 18, to debauchery, to godlessness, to being out of control. He says, don't be like that. Instead of being influenced by alcohol, be influenced by the Holy Spirit, which leads to control and godliness. He says, hand over control of your life to the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide you. Let Him direct you. Let Him control your speech. Let Him control where you go and what you do. And be thoroughly permeated by Him. When you've got a dirty T-shirt and you put it in the washing machine, but it doesn't quite wash it completely because there's still some stains there. And so there's incredible products called a nappy sand, and you can put nappy sand on your shirt and you put it in a bucket of water. You let it soak in the bucket of water. You ever done that? You've got to make sure that the whole of that shirt is under that water. Otherwise, that stain is not going to come out. Water is permeating your shirt. That's the idea here. The Holy Spirit is permeating every fibre of your being. As a kid, I used to love building massive sandcastles on the pebble beaches of UK. But this massive sandcastle, and you put the moat around it, and you go down to the ocean, get a bucket of water, and you watch the water come through the moat and permeate the whole of that sand. And occasionally, as a child, you think, I don't want the water to go there, so you build a dam out of that. You ever done that? And you watch the water come close, and then stop. You can't go there. You can't permeate that. That's what we do with the Holy Spirit. We say to the Holy Spirit in our life, you can't go there. I know you're in my life, but there's part of areas of my life where I'm not going to let you go. Spirit of God, you have nothing to do with my finances. How dare you go there? Spirit of God, how dare you go into my thought life? I don't want you to go there. My lust and my lies and my anger, no. No, you can't go there, Spirit of God. And if you're doing that, you're stopping the Holy Spirit from filling you. He's in you, but He's not filling you because you've got these barriers up. Now back to the friend in my house. He's in my house. 100% of it is in my house. But what it really means is me saying to my friend, you can go into any room in my house. The kitchen, the bathroom, the bedroom, any wardrobe, any cupboard, any drawer, attic, basement, look at my computer, look at my text message, it's all there for you. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. You give Him access. You invite Him into your work life, your home life, your leisure life, your pleasure life. You say, here I am, just take me, the Spirit of God, and permeate every part of my being. And when you do that, then you experience God and enjoy God in ways that perhaps you never have. Let's look at the verse again, be filled with the Spirit. Did you notice it is a command? Now, the Bible never commands us to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit because we can't do that. God does that. And the Bible doesn't tell us to be baptized by the Holy Spirit because God does that. But we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say this might be good for you. He says this is really important for you. And because God commands it, we can do it, because God never gives a command that he doesn't enable us to do. And it is passive, actually, if you know your English grammar. You know, it happens to you. You're acted upon. So God does the filling, not you. You're just the object of the filling. You ask and open yourself up to be filled. And it is plural. Listen very carefully. This is not only for the spiritual elite. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a superior class of second blessing believers doing the Christian life in the first class lounge, experiencing wonderful, exciting, mountaintop experience of God. That's a lie of the devil. If you've got the Spirit, you too can have these wonderful mountaintop experiences of God. You too can receive his blessing and his power because you've got the Spirit of God in you. And the most important thing I'm going to say is this, it's a continuous tense. So it's passive, but it's also continuous. It's literally keep on being filled, or be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we need to be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled again. Listen carefully, this might be controversial. There is one baptism and many fillings. One baptism and many fillings. And too many Christians get confused by this. They say, oh, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? And what they really mean is, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you're baptized with the Spirit when you say Jesus Christ is Lord and he gives you the gifts of the Spirit. And being baptized with the Spirit is not about getting a particular gift like tongues or prophecy. That's ridiculous. Now, being filled with the Spirit means that you might actually experience that and get a gift of tongues or prophecy or whatever you're looking for. But you're baptized once, but you're filled again and again and again and again. I mean, forget your second blessing theology. I want to be blessed a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time and a hundredth time. I want to be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled again. I love what Jesus says here in John chapter 7. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has says, rivers of living water will flow within them. And by this, he meant the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living waters, that's the Holy Spirit living in you. Not a small trickle, not a light shower, but rivers, an endless supply that enables you to be filled and filled and filled and filled again. So do you ever pray like this? Spirit of God, would you fill me afresh today? Spirit of God, as I come to your word this morning, I don't just want to understand, but I want to see you. I want to experience you. Would you open my eyes to see glorious truth in your word? Spirit of the living God, you know that task. I can't do that. Would you fill me to do that and equip me to do that, Lord? Spirit of the living God, you know my desire, my heart. I eagerly desire the spiritual gifts of tongues or healings or miracles. And I don't want that for my glory, but for your glory. So would you fill me and give me that gift, either for a season or for the rest of my life? Spirit of the living God, I'm just tired of fighting that sin in my life and I'm exhausted. I can't do it. So Spirit of God, would you fill me? I invite you to take control of that part of my life. I hand it over to you, God. Do you ever pray like that? Because if we don't, maybe we become content with a mediocre, safe Christian life. Are you saved? Of course you're saved. Do you have the Spirit? Of course you've got the Spirit. But when you open yourself up to being filled with the Spirit like this, when you invite him, don't be surprised by what God can do in you and through you. Have a new spiritual fervor, a new spiritual expectation. You will start to pray big prayers, not safe prayers, bold prayers, because you really do believe that God can do immeasurably more than you ask or imagine. You start to live with a greater dependency and a spiritual awareness. It's like you see God's hand in all these different parts of your life. And you stop rationalizing everything. And you say, oh, that's God, and that's God, and that's God. And you start to fight your sin, not with your own strength, but by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to come under his control, his influence, and to allow him to permeate every fiber of your being. Question number two, what stops you being filled with the Spirit? What are the blockages that stop us being filled? There are two phrases in Scripture which make me deeply sad. Number one, don't quench the Spirit. And number two, don't grieve the Spirit. So we as believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, we can quench him and we can grieve him. The quenching of the Spirit is there in 1 Thessalonians 5. Do not quench the Holy Spirit, he says. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test all of them. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. You see, your Heavenly Father wants to speak to you. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much, he wants to communicate with you. He wants to reveal more of himself to you. He wants to train you. He wants to equip you. So God longs to talk to us, but sometimes we don't want to listen. Sometimes when God wants to get your attention, you're like a little child with their fingers in your saying, not listening, not listening. Or sometimes at open mic, someone comes up and they have a word of prophecy, and some people just roll their eyes going, oh yeah, what was that about? Well, maybe God wants to speak to you through that, if you would let him. Or sometimes that someone comes up to you, a Christian friend comes up to you, and they feel convicted by the Holy Spirit to tell you something. And sometimes it's not always pleasant. Sometimes they want to correct you or challenge you, but you're like, no, don't want to hear that. That is quenching the Holy Spirit. We don't just quench him, but we grieve him. That's the word used in Ephesians 4, verse 30, where we looked at a few weeks ago, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And what he said there was, God is sad when we use our words to tear each other down, not build each other up. And God is sad when we as a church get sucked into slander and brawling and gossip and anger. That grieves him. So we can put a blockage to being filled with the Spirit when we quench him and when we grieve him, when we don't do the things he wants us to do, and we do the things he doesn't want us to do. But I think the third block is, I call it skepticism. When we're skeptical about all this Holy Spirit stuff. It's almost like once we've been born again, all the supernatural works have stopped. And we believe that we are only born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. We accept that. But once we've been born again, that was the Spirit's work, now it's our work. And so we start to fight our own sin in our strength, and that's exhausting. Perhaps that's why so many Christians are cheerless and spiritually dry, because the gifts are underused, the spiritual fruit is absent, there's no zeal for godliness, no expectation of what God might do in your life. And it's sad on this pilot-like Christians who, the pilot light is on, the Spirit is there, but it's not on fire. Number three, what will being filled with the Spirit look like? What's the outworking of all of this? Give me something tangible, Paul. Well, he does, the Apostle Paul, not me. Verse 15. The outworking of this is you live wisely, verse 15. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So it says, Spirit-filled believers live wisely. Spirit-filled believers are very careful in the choices they make. Spirit-filled believers seek to live God's way. Because, verse 15, we are not unwise. The unwise in Ephesians are those whose thinking is futile, chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. The unwise people in this world, they have no understanding of God's purpose or God's presence. They're ignorant to God. The unwise people in this world are living without any purpose, any meaning, and without God in their life. But that's not us. That's not you. We are wise. Not. He's not saying we're intelligent. He's saying you're wise in that you know God. And you know God's purpose and God's plan. God's plan for his world is to bring everything under the conformity of Christ, chapter 1, verse 10. You know where you're heading. So the Spirit-filled believers comes before God and says, show me the right path. Show me the right way to live today, God. The Spirit-filled believers does not take the path of least resistance in this world because that's unwise. The Spirit-filled believer does not conform to the thinking of the world or the woke ideas of the world or to the culture around us. The Spirit-filled believer says, this is the right way to live. This is God's plan for my life. I remember driving to Canberra. And you know when you go through the Eastern Distributor, they've sometimes got those signs saying, turn on your radio. And so I turned on the radio, it said, there's been a crash on the M5 tunnel and long delays. And so I'd heard that. But I decided, oh, by now, that crash will be cleared, I'll be fine. And so I drive through the M5 tunnel, and I sit there for, I'm not kidding, for 2 hours. Just sitting. And I'm getting angry, I'm getting frustrated, I'm just spewing. But why? Because I was told the information, but I chose to ignore it. I was the fool. That's what he's saying here in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand, know, not just hear, but actually in your practice, understand what the Lord's will is. Don't live in ignorance. You know what the Lord's will is. So many Christians are obsessed with what's the Lord's will for my life. Is this the Lord's will? Is that the Lord's will? He doesn't give you the minute detail, but he does give you the big picture. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4 makes it very clear, quote, the Lord's will is that you should be sanctified. So if you question what the Lord's will is, ask that question, will this make me more like Jesus? Will this decision, this choice, this path make me more like Jesus? If it is, that's the Lord's will. And when you're a spirit-filled believer, you start to think like this, will this please the Lord? Will this bring Jesus all the praise and glory? And you make the most of every opportunity. I love verse 16, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Do you see that? The language in verse 16 there, making the most of opportunities, is actually the language of a bargain hunter. So it's the picture of those Boxing Day sales. You ever been in a Boxing Day sale? You're standing outside of David Jones with 1,000 other people. The doors open, you all rush in. And you spot a bargain. Let's say you spot a $1,000 handbag reduced to $100. And you go, oh, grab that. Now, what you don't want to do at that moment is see the bargain and go, I think I'll just wander around David Jones for 2 or 3 hours and I'll come back and then I'll get it. Because when you come back 2 hours later, that bargain will have gone. That's the idea here. That every moment of every day, there are opportunities that you've got to grab hold of and make the most of for Jesus. Living your life with your eyes open to see all these opportunities and to grab them. Because the days are evil, he says. You know, we're in the last days that Jesus Christ is coming back. And so don't waste time. Don't fill your days doing stuff that doesn't really matter. Don't spend your time watching endless Netflix or scrolling social media or just doing nothing because the days are evil. So make the most of every moment of every day to serve Jesus and magnify Christ. I mean, do you wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord Jesus, what are we going to do together today? Do you wake up in the morning and pray, Spirit of God, give me opportunities today to share my faith? Because when you pray that kind of prayer, it's amazing how many opportunities God gives you. And do you live your life with your eyes open to see those opportunities and then to take them? So what does it look like to live a spirit-filled life where you live wisely and you make the most of opportunities? And then you have a life that's totally devoted to the Lord. Because verses 19 to 21 are the outworking of being filled with the Holy Spirit. See the contrast, verse 18? Don't get drunk on wine because that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, because that leads to, verse 19, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, literally singing and making music from your heart, and giving thanks, verse 20, and verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So to cross out that instruction for Christian households in your Bibles, that's rubbish. Verses 19, 20, and 21 are the four participles that flow out of being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're a spirit-filled believer, you speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and you sing and make music to your heart to the Lord, and you're full of thankfulness, and you submit to each other out of reverence of Christ. So a spirit-filled believer speaks to other believers or to other people with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, verse 19. I don't think there's any difference between those three, a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song. He's just saying that when you're spirit-filled, your words become God-speak. You talk to each other about God. You love to share scriptures or share songs with another Christian. You teach each other and you talk to each other about what God is doing. It's not embarrassing to talk about God. It's a delight, isn't it? I love discipling new believers. Because when you disciple a new believer, they send you texts 2, 3, or 4 times a day. Oh, this is a great scripture. That's a great scripture. And they find a new worship song and say, have you heard this song? That's what he's talking about here. We have this passion to see other people encountering God like we have. So why does that have to stop the more you mature in your faith? So tonight, over our pizza party, please don't just talk about the Dale long service leave or the football. Talk about God. Talk to each other about God. But it's not just a horizontal, it's a vertical thing. See verse 19? You speak to one another, and it continues. You're singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. That's a mark of a spirit-filled believer, that they are praising God with their whole being. They're rejoicing, they're singing, they're praising. And it doesn't matter if you can't sing. It doesn't matter if you're singing out of tune or you're not a great singer. The point is that with every part of your being, you just want to worship God in song. Now, I love worship music. I love singing. I sing in the shower, I sing in the car. This year, I've been walking around Balmoral Oval at 4:30 in the morning, just singing songs out loud to the Lord. No one else is there, so it's fine. But I love it. Now, please, please, please look at your Bibles. Verse 19 follows on from verse 18, not the other way around. It does not say, we sing to bring on a filling of the Spirit. It doesn't say worship invokes the Holy Spirit. It does not say repeat a chorus a million times so you invite the presence of the Holy Spirit. It says the exact opposite. As we are being filled with the Holy Spirit, we want to sing to God. As we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, we just naturally worship God. So our worship is a natural response to being filled. We can't manipulate to sing. But there's something profoundly strange about a believer who loves Jesus, a spirit-filled believer who just refuses to sing. There's something really odd about a spirit-filled believer who stands in church during worship looking bored. You might not like the songs, but if the Spirit's at work in your life, with your whole being, you just want to sing. So we speak, we sing, and then we give thanks. Verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit-filled believer will be full of gratitude, full of thanksgiving, full of rejoicing. I find verse 20 quite hard. When do you give thanks? Always. See that word? Regularly, frequently, constantly, as you walk down the street, you are full of gratitude. As you sit at home, you give thanks. The attitude of gratitude permeates your whole being. What do you give thanks for, verse 20? For everything. That's a hard word, isn't it? For everything. The spirit-filled believer thanks God for the good and the bad, the happy and the sad. And even during trials and hardships, you can thank God for something. You don't thank God for the pain, but you can thank God in the pain. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, He gives you this presence and this peace and this comfort that you can still thank God for that. Who do you thank? You thank God, your Father, your good, good Father, who treats you as His precious children in the name of your Savior, Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. See that verse 21? The fourth participle, speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting. That's the tense. They're submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. I'm about to leave you for 11 weeks, so I'll go out with some controversy. And I'll leave Jeff to unpack it next week. God's world is ordered. there is order in every single relationship in your life. And so when it says submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, that posture of humility, that posture of saying, yes, I want to put myself and trust myself to this person, that's something that flows out of us because we've got the Spirit of God in us. But submit to one another does not mean completely mutual submission in every relationship. There's still order. That's what verses 22 onwards is about. So husbands are not told to submit to wives, and parents are not told to submit to children, and masters are not told to submit to slaves. I hope they do. I hope there's a humility and a love in all those relationships. But the spiritual believer looks at their particular relationship and say, okay, what's my role here? And so you might be a man here tonight who is a husband, but you're also a child of a parent. And so you submit to your parent in a different way you relate to your wife. And you might be a man here who is a worker with a boss, and so you submit to your boss. And the point is, the spirit-filled believer has the wisdom and the humility to look at all their relationships and say, okay, God, how do you want me to relate to this person? Out of reverence for Christ, it says, out of awe and wonder at Jesus. And I love that. So when we're spirit-filled, we live wisely, we speak joyfully, we sing and make music, we're thankful, and we submit to each other. You ever spotted those spirit-filled people where they ooze God and every part just shines to you? You think, I want to be like them. I want that. How do you get it? How do you get to be a spirit-filled believer? And the answer is, just ask him. You've got all the spirit in you, so just invite him. Fill me. Change me. Transform me. Expose those part of my life where I'm putting that barrier. I just surrender all of me to you tonight. And as you do that, watch his work in your life. It's extraordinary. Let me pray. I'm going to pray a prayer. It's actually a hymn that we sing at 8 a.m. church. It goes like this. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your holiness. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you long to transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. And so we invite you to fill us again and again and again. Give us eyes to see opportunities. Give us hearts that want to walk in your ways. Give us tongues that want to speak about you to other people. Give us a heart that wants to sing and make music to you, to worship you. Give us an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, and a willingness, an eagerness to submit to each other. Spirit of God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.